So glad you could be with us tonight. I wanted to share a psalm with you, Psalm 95, which has been a great comfort to me in this year of 2020. COVID-19 has dominated our experience, I think, to say the least. Since late February and early March, it seems like the only thing in the news. And now it appears, even here in November, that things are getting worse when we anticipated that they would be getting better earlier in the year. There's more cases and more COVID-related deaths. Added to this, the seemingly endless shutdowns of many businesses throughout the United States. It's a difficult time. And in light of Thanksgiving this year, I found Psalm 95 a great comfort to me. I believe this psalm offers a roadmap to a happy Thanksgiving, even in the midst of a difficult time like this. Let me read the psalm to you, Psalm 95. The psalmist says, "O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it is he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah, in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my works. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter my rest." I think this psalm offers three things when we think about Thanksgiving this year, a difficult year in 2020, in light of COVID. There is an invitation, first of all, to worship and to give thanks to God. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me. The psalmist invites us to come and worship in general and to give thanks to God in particular. Let us come, verse 2 says, before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout for joy with psalms. He tells us to sing for joy to the Lord, to shout joyfully. In fact, in those first two verses, the word joy or joyfully is used no less than three times. There's a big difference between happiness and joy. Big difference. Happiness is contingent upon our circumstances. You know, we can go through every year and we think about all those wonderful things that we can be thankful for. If we have a job and we made good money and that sort of thing, or if we have health. But often what happens is we have those things that are good and they're counterbalanced by those things that are difficult or bad. For instance, if I had a good year financially, but my wife is suffering from an illness or a malignancy, it has a tendency to counterbalance. It's circumstantial. And happiness is something that is temporary, whereas joy is something that is much deeper. It's much more deep down inside. Joy is not contingent upon circumstances. Joy is something that is rooted in something beyond our circumstances. That is, in a sovereign, holy God. So he invites us to worship and to give thanks, which is something that we typically do at Thanksgiving. But I want you to notice a second thing, and that is not the invitation, but the foundation. Why should we give thanks? The psalmist points to the greatness of God. That is the reason, the fundamental reason why we give thanks. It's not a matter of our circumstances. It's not a matter of looking back over the year and saying what was good and what was difficult or bad. It goes much deeper than that. You'll notice the words in verse 3 and following. The psalmist gives us a foundation for joy and gratitude, and that is God's greatness. Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King. Verse 4, he calls us to reflect on the creation from the depths of the earth to the mountain peaks. And in verse 5, he says, the sea is his, for it is he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. See what the psalmist is doing? He's going way beyond our circumstances, and he's saying, if you want a deep down joy that is abiding and a reason to give thanks to God perpetually, not just at Thanksgiving, then you've got to see his greatness. In fact, the Bible over and over again, especially in the Old Testament, points to the greatness of God. Because when you look at the greatness of God, it has a tendency to shrink all other difficulties and problems into insignificance. Take time to read the scriptures and see the greatness of God. There's so many places throughout scripture that speak of God's greatness. One of my favorites is chapter 40, verse 12, where Isaiah says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Can you imagine that? That God Almighty takes all the waters of the oceans and the rivers and the lakes, not only in the United States, but all around the world, and he holds them in the palm of his hand. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or marked off the heavens by the span? We think about the heavens, and scientists tell us about space and how large it is. And here, Isaiah says, the God that you worship, the God that you serve, measures the heavens by the palm of his hand. He goes on to say, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure. I walk around and I'm always trying to shoo away dust. I can't imagine, I can't fathom that God knows every speck of dust that there is on the planet. He's that great. He's that big. He goes on to say, and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales, that Almighty God could take all the mountains of the entire world and measure them in a pair of scales. You see what the writer is doing? He's getting us to shrink ourselves and our situation in life, and look up and see the greatness of Almighty God. Another place, one of many, Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. Remember the things of long past, for I am God, and there is no other God besides me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things which have been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. I was reflecting on this past week, and I thought to myself, our God is so sovereign and so big and so great, that when I look at the pandemic, when I look at COVID-19, when I look at all the difficulties that I, as a pastor, have faced this past year, and that you, as individuals, have faced, I begin to realize that this pandemic did not take God by surprise, and that it will not last one second more than what God intends it to last. And therefore, I can have a sense of joy and peace, regardless of my circumstances, because I know that my God is sovereign. If he declares the end from the beginning, then there is nothing that escapes his notice. And that's true not only throughout our world and through all the nations, it's true in your own personal life, that this God is so much bigger and so much greater than we often give him credit for. I was reading the other day the song of Moses with Diane in Exodus 15, and how Moses and Miriam praised the Lord because the Lord, with a breath of his nostrils, destroyed the armies of Egypt. He sank and he drowned all the enemies of Israel. What the writer of Scripture, the writers of Scripture, are trying to do all the time is to enhance our perspective of the greatness and the glory of God. And when we do that, that will directly condition how we live our lives, as well as the level and the quality of our joy in knowing him and loving him and walking with him. Bottom line is, the greatness of God conditions everything. My ability to have joy and my ability to give thanks. Because the greatness of God is not conditioned by my circumstances. It's conditioned by sacred scripture. And it's founded upon that truth. And therefore, I can give thanks to God regardless of my circumstances. In my own life personally, in my nation, in my world, I can have a sense of peace because this God is great. I remember as a child, one of the favorite songs I have is, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. I wish we could keep that in mind as we grow up into adulthood, that God really does have the whole world in his hands. In all the events and circumstances of all time, he is absolutely sovereign over these things. And that's very important for us to remember if we're truly going to have a Thanksgiving, an authentic biblical Thanksgiving this year, that we don't look at our past circumstances over the year, that we don't focus on COVID-19, but that we focus on the fact that our God is sovereign and he's in control of all events of all time, whether it be in Washington or Beijing or in London or in Paris or any other place on the face of the planet. He is governing and controlling, and he's summing up all things in Christ Jesus. And often we may not understand those events and circumstances, but he does. And that's really all that matters. We have an invitation here to worship and give thanks. The foundation is the greatness of God. One last thing is a recollection. The end of the psalm is not very pretty. He goes and he reflects on an incident that happened that you can find back in Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and God led them so graciously, and before they knew it, they lost sight of all the miracles. They lost sight of God's greatness in removing them from the bondage of Egypt and giving them freedom. And all of a sudden, they wanted water. And they began to complain and murmur against Moses and against God. Who will give us water to drink? It almost got to the point of Moses being stoned. And Moses, if you know the story, cried out to God. And God said, take the staff that you struck the Red Sea with, that they saw, and strike the rock, and water will come from it. And the place was called Meribah, which means a place of strife, at Massah, which means temptation. You see, the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and God showed his glory and his greatness in delivering them, but they lost sight of it so quickly. And before you know it, they were in the clutches of Satan, and they were tempted to cry and to get upset about something as insignificant as a drink of water. In fact, at the very end of that passage, they said, is the Lord among us or not? It's as if everything that happened to them, they completely lost sight of. So the writer, the psalmist, is saying, look, as you think about the invitation to give thanks this year, remember your foundation is not your circumstances. It's the greatness of God. And don't lose sight of that like the Israelites did. Because before you know it, you'll be complaining and murmuring about something small and insignificant, and you'll lose sight of the greatness of your salvation, the greatness of the glory of God and his kindness in your life, the greatness of his mercy and grace. Don't fall to that point where you say, is the Lord among us or not? He is. He is. He is great. He is glorious and powerful. And he's bigger than any difficulty or problem that you've experienced this past year or in the year to come. And he is, again, summing up all things in Christ. And though we may not understand all the ins and outs of that, we can have the firm assurance that our Redeemer lives and that he loves us and that everything he does, he's working out all things for the good and the benefit of those who love him and those who've been called according to his purposes. Have a happy Thanksgiving this year based on the greatness of your God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that the Bible has so much to say about your greatness and your glory. And you've manifested yourself supremely in the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this afternoon or this evening that you would give us grace to see your greatness and that all of our circumstances would shrink into insignificance as we acknowledge your greatness and your glory, and we realize that we're being transformed as we look at the face of the Lord Jesus, the glory of God made human, in order to take away our sin and to give us righteousness. Lord, give us thankful hearts based on this wonderful foundation of your greatness and your glory in our lives. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.